LSL.
Bit of pain today. I ended up having to go to a doctor's visit. They, of course, wanted me to do more than I'm able to do, so kind of pushed me to my limits a little bit. But all is good. That doctor's visit is over with, and hopefully this disability nightmare will soon be over.
How's disability nightmare happen?
I'm disabled. Doctors tell me I'm disabled, but now I gotta convince the government that I'm disabled. And you know how that goes.
Yeah, I can see that. I hope that's happening, man. I hope things get a lot better for you real soon.
Lord is always taking care of me, and he will continue to take care of me. So that's my outlook on it, and will continue to be my outlook on it.
That's a good thing.
Well, this disability will eventually go away for good soon enough.
Oh, if it ain't my buddy Glenn. Welcome in, Glenn. Welcome.
Now, I had to pop out for a few things. Mostly aspirin, Pepto-Bismol. But, yeah, I woke up today and whatever. Yeah, the pain, disability, and sickness will soon enough go away.
You're right, Darren. You're exactly right. And I tell you, I tell everybody, I used to be in lawn care, and that included mowing grass, that included fixing grass, that included feeding grass. I own my own company. Worked from daylight to dark, 5, sometimes 6 days a week. So this sitting at home is really for the birds. That's why I do a lot of fishing, a lot of ham radio, and a lot of playing on the PlayStation.
Much cutting grass, or cut spooky grass, but not really cutting grass. But yeah, retirement sucks, especially if you were active before, and you had that one life-changing event, whatever it was. You can no longer be as active as you were. Presumably, sitting in a wheelchair, you can still mostly get around.
All this, disability, sickness, and death is going to end one day. It makes me think of one song that I like to sing in church. It's what a day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more tears. Something. If I started singing it, I would know it, but I'm not going to do that one later. That's the song. Oh, Lord, Glenn.
Well, I tell you, if you... active, I guess, would be a good word for what my lifestyle was. Avid hunter, avid fisherman, big into archery. I was also a drummer at my church, as well as the sound engineer at my church. Plus doing all of the work activities, which I really enjoyed. It got hot in the summer and it got cold in the winter, but I was outside and I was just having a good time. So a lot of those activities have been scaled way back. So I still have a lot of energy. I'm not in a wheelchair. I do have to have a mobility scooter to get around if I'm going to be walking for any kind of an extended period of time. And the life-changing event, it took all of about 10 to 15 seconds. And that just consisted of somebody running a red light and hitting me in the left front wheel of my truck. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. two back surgeries later, and here I am.
That's most important and main thing is that you're here and you're still with us.
Sit in your seat when the truck was hit because maybe I just got in the habit a long time ago, but, you know, even if I'm going around the block, I always try to put the seatbelt on. I used to like the 1990s cars that had the automatic seatbelt. I had one of those. The seatbelt would run in a track along the door, and when you get in, it would basically, a little motorized thing would move the lap and shoulder belt. But, you know, I don't know. Whatever the circumstances of the accident were, you know, it probably didn't take long for you to realize, ooh, this ain't going to be good.
It doesn't seem long to realize anything that goes wrong on the road. I don't know, but there might be a day I'll be out there flagging and all the stuff you come to.
A Ford Pro. I remember those two.
And I don't know if I just get the people.
I know that there were more. Those were the two I had experience with. And yes, I was restrained in my seatbelt. I drive a 2017 Chevrolet 2500 heavy duty. And, this guy, it was another lawn care company, believe it or not, and he had a 24-foot trailer that was full of commercial mowers. He was speeding, and he looked up about the time he started going into the intersection, and that's when he locked his brakes down, and he hit me hard enough in the left front to turn the truck 90 degrees. My truck weighs 9,500 pounds empty, and he hit me hard enough, my head hit the B-pillar, knocked me out, gave me a concussion, gave me whiplash, and herniated three discs in my lower back, and thankfully, the airbags did not go out in it.
You're a lifesaver.
So you're saying I'm safer in the silver, but a little further. Actually, the only airbag in this thing is somebody must have taken out the airbag. A little sign comes on that says...
Air Peter a little bit. Yes, airbags are a lifesaver, and mine, I think, has 17 in it, including in the seat, in the side curtains, in the B-pillars, of course, your frontals, and all of that, but it, Chandler, if the airbags would have gone off the way my head hit, it could have broke my neck.
That's not a good thing. Broken neck can lead to a bunch of problems, including paralyzation. We don't want to think about that.
15 airbags. Okay, wait, there's a passenger and driver airbag. There might be two more in the passenger inside doors. I'm only half joking. Why not just fill the entire car with this instantly drying plastic foam? So basically, I'm only half joking. Some two-part foam that would immediately just make a block of plastic. I mean, that of course would eventually dissolve. You don't want to get trapped in there. 17 airbags, it seems that one of them should have been in the right place.
It's because of what they call a smart airbag system. It takes the force of the impact, and the computer calculates the force of the impact. And if it is too great, then it knows that you're not, the airbag will not be inflated in the right time. So it just doesn't inflate them at all. And yeah, at 17 airbags, it's got, in each one of the back, the seat backs has an airbag. The B pillars, I think, have two airbags in them, one high and one low. The door's got airbags in it. The steering wheel, the dash, both have airbags in them. And then along the curtain, up at the top, it's got airbags all around it. Now, all of those airbags are about $1,000 to $1,500 a piece plus installation. Already in body damage alone in that wreck was nearly $19,000. They ended up having to replace even the headlights because it shoved the core support and it broke the mounts on the headlights. The headlights were $1,200 a piece.
Plus, then they totaled it. Obviously, insurance, if it was insured, isn't being tested. Well, I don't know. Trucks now are expensive. A truck like this one, a much newer one, let's say a 2020 Silverado, what are those now, 20 or 30 grand or
80 grand if you get top of the line. I won't need a truck too. I don't like that, this one revving Chrysler.
But, yeah, it depends on the vehicle. It depends what kind of coverage you had.
$1,000 now. I won't need a truck too, because I don't like driving around this little raggedy Chrysler.
Yep. New in 2017 was $63,000. I bought it used. It was 6 months old. I think I paid $40,000 for it. And right now, and I'm still driving it, they were able to fix it. The Ford went to the junkyard where it belongs. The value of my truck right now, even taking into account of the accident, is worth almost $49,000. You know, it's now considered low mileage. It has under 100,000 miles on it. So a new truck to replace it, just like mine, with the 6-liter, well, now it's a 6.6-liter gas engine, four-wheel drive, not the Z71, because you're just paying a lot of money for skid plates and other little bells and whistles. I think is around $68,000 for a 2022. That may be more now. If you get a diesel, then you need to add another 25 to 30 grand to that.
Between Z71 and four-wheel drive.
Ones have got, most of them come standard with leather interior and seat heaters and seat air conditioning. They've got upgraded skid plates underneath it. It's got a pretty little sticker on it that says Z71, and there's just other little minor, minuscule details. The trim package that I have in mind is the LT, which they call light truck. And, you know, it's got cloth interior, but it does have power seats, power windows, power locks, power mirrors. You know, it's got the upgraded bigger touchscreen radio in it. I mean, you know, it's a trim package is all it is. And higher insurance and blah, 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 blah.
So if I got a 2005 Silverado for $2,000 and I had to put another $2,000 to fix it, that's not necessarily that bad.
Silverados go for 8 to 10.
What kind of truck you have, some trucks are worth a good long sum of money. It don't matter how old they are. The 1980 square body Chevrolet, them things are on the money right now. And the 90s model.
Some of some truck dealer on Craigslist in Georgia had this very same truck. Well, it might have been the instead of the V6, it might have been the V8 engine for $11,000. 2005 Silverado, you know, single cab, you know, no four-wheel drive, no, yeah, so they, all right, so if I got four and a half or $5,000 into this, I didn't overpay.
All right. I want me to share the leg. Dadgum, you guys are making me want to just get out this car and go take the dadgum truck.
Daryl, you didn't do bad at all on that truck. And you know, I tell you, I love the older Chevrolets. I love the square bodies. I had my first Chevrolet truck was a 1995, and I think I paid $2,000. No, I paid $5,000 for that truck. Drove it for 10 years. Put over 200,000 miles on it. It had over 300,000 on it when I sold it. And now it was still on the original engine, original transmission. Did not smoke. Did not use any oil. Transmission shifted nice and smooth, but it was taken care of. And I think I sold it for about $3,000. It needed some front end work and what have you. Now, the older trucks from 2000 and up, they're great trucks. They are phenomenal. They're starting to become like what the 90s models were, and they're starting to become easier to work on, you know, money-wise, and, you know, the transmissions are getting cheaper, the engines are getting cheaper. You can find the engines now everywhere, which is a great thing. There have been a lot of innovations come along with respect to engine upgrades and transmission upgrades and rear end upgrades. I mean, you know, people have been experimenting and finding things that work great. So, yeah, if you got an 05 and you're in it $4,000 to $5,000, you're not hurt at all. And, you know, as long as you like it, drive it till the wheels fall off of it. You know, I just recently got mine paid off, and that's what I'm going to do with mine. My truck will be driven until it just cannot be driven anymore.
Until the wheels. Well, that was the only thing. That's one of the things. Okay, I think I paid $2,000, or let's say the auction house adds 10%, so $2,200. I had to pay a total of $650 to put a transmission in. $450 for a pull from a junkyard, and, you know, for another $400 to install it. And I had to pay $800-something for new tires, plus some other work. So, yeah, so far I've got $4,400 maybe into the thing. You know, the base model 2005.
Dropping in and out of the repeater there on that one, probably hilltopping. But I'll tell you one thing. Yeah, it is a base model, but now you can start going to these junkyards and pulling, let's say, center consoles. If yours doesn't have the center console in it, you can pull center consoles. You can go to LMC Truck, Larry Michael Charlie Truck, and you can get pretty much upgrades from bumper to bumper on that one. That truck, I think, has the 4L60 or the 4L80E transmissions. They are phenomenal. They're dynamite transmissions. You know, you can get a lot of life. Biggest thing is change the, get the fluids flushed in the transmission, get your filter changed on a regular basis, and that transmission will last you until it, you know, until the cows come home, you know, until the clutches just finally just die. But as long as you're, you know, not real hard on them, they'll last you 10 or 15 years, 20 years.
I was barely able to drive the thing back here from the auction lot. the transmission was slipping. So, 450 for a pull from a junkyard, and 400 for somebody to install the transmission. Okay, 850 for a reasonably okay transmission, that's not bad. It needed that, tires. You know, four new tires, and a couple of other things. So even if I spent $2,000 fixing everything, it still, you know, it doesn't owe me anything.
Transmission?
Do the work myself. I don't know what happened to it. I did keep it.
Probably spend another $600 and get the old transmission gone through and completely rebuilt and just have it sitting on a shelf ready for it to go.
And that's probably what the guy did. He put in a pull from a junkyard, which he could do rather quickly, and he's going to spend time rebuilding the old one. That's going to take, you know, that takes a lot of hours. That's probably what he did do. So he probably will have a rebuilt one to sell. But, yeah, he pulled from a junker with 80,000 miles on it. And, you know, that's not a lot of miles. I mean, this thing has 240,000 miles on it already, and it's probably good for another 100,000.
Hey, guys, can you do me a favor and give me a signal report real quick? I'm testing my Yazzie.
A bit of fan noise behind you, but you're full quieting into the repeater.
Signal report. Okay, we hear you.
Sweet man. All right, well, thank you. Sitting on top of the power supply. Got it fixed and my radio's fixed, so now I can transmit my actual ham radio again. I'm happy.
Feel any better? I plugged you at a one signal bar on reverse here in Centerville.
Hey, that's a really good sign. Good night. Yeah, feel free to go back to what you discussed, and I'll be there back in there.
I can hear someone a mile away on reverse. That's usually doing well. So I guess you do have a good signal.
Hi, Gums. I'm sitting here on FT8 thinking about switching over to PSK31 and see what's going on down there in some of the other HF bands. But I had to upgrade my computer last night and put some new RAM in it, but now I'm going to end up having to get a hard drive for it. It took me 30 minutes to get it to finally boot up, so probably got a bearing going bad in the hard drive itself. More stuff to fix. Oh well. Luckily, the solid state that I'm looking at is a terabyte, and it's only $80. So, yeah, we'll see where we go from there.
Computers and parts, I've got so many of. I probably got stuff I could let you have. I always seem to end up with extra computers and or extra hard drives.
Awesome. you know, this... this computer, it's an older computer. It's got the Intel Pentium i5 in it. It's an old HP Pro, and I love the computer. It works great for what I need, except for when I can't get it to boot up. And what it does is you hit the power button, and the hard drive light will flash for about a second or two and then quit. Well, eventually, you hit it and do the hard reset and hit it and do the hard reset enough times, it finally says, okay, I think I'll work now.
So, Latitude something from about 2012, Core i3, 4 gigabyte of RAM, you know, a laptop. The battery is kind of crap, but... you know, heck, probably, I don't know what size hard drive is in there, probably not very big, but heck, you probably have it.
I wanted to look a gift horse in the mouth, and I would greatly appreciate it. This one's a desktop, and I would love to have a laptop that I can run all of this stuff on and be able to put it in my camper and start doing some... parts on the, or parks, not parts, but parks on the air, activations and what have you when I go out camping.
And 4DJC. Go on, carry on. I just wanted to say hello.
Here and join us, sir.
Computer woes.
I told my wife last night, I said, this computer better be glad that ammunition is so expensive.
You dress in stuff that's current on QRZ. What was your call sign?
4 Lima Sierra Lima. And yes, I am current on QRZ. My email address is there as well.
I actually had laptops I tossed in the trash because they were not even really serviceable. But Dell laptop, Core i3 processor, 4 gig of RAM, from about maybe 2011 or 2012. It's got Windows 7. I could put Windows 10 if you really wanted to. I could whatever you want. I could probably just give it to you.
I appreciate that. I really would. Shoot me an email, and we can get together on that for sure.
Actually, I got another Dell laptop. It's a bit older, though. It might be... it's probably too old. It's from about 2007. But I still keep it around because it has, it still has the serial port, the 9-pin serial port, which you still need for certain radio, certain radio programming things. You still need the old serial port. But that one's too old maybe even to give away. But I'm not sure, there's probably not a big hard drive in there, 160 gigabytes maybe. Because I got too many of these things. And there's another laptop that again is probably too old to be, if it even runs, too old to be serviceable. Spare computers I have. Spare desktop computers I might even have.
Well, if you got stuff that you're just wanting to offload, for sure. Because all I've got right now is just the one desktop, and I've got a Chromebook, but none of my programs run on a Chromebook.
Literally all the little programs to program your radio and... Chromebooks are running Linux. Usually, the radio programming software is pretty much all Windows stuff. Some crappy machine 10 years old running, like, even Windows XP or Windows 7 probably works fine.
I found that out the hard way when it decided to take a spell and not want to boot up at all. I tried to hook my... Or I tried to download the stuff for the WSJTX and what have you, and it just didn't work. And then I figured out I don't have enough ports in it to hook everything up anyway.
Gather together a bunch of these instances and sell them on Craigslist. But, for 10-year-old, for even 10-year-old systems, you're not going to get much money. What can I sell them for? $200, $100, $150? So, if somebody really needs a system, you can probably just, I got one you can probably just have. Do you need a desktop system? I might have those. I have one desktop system that might not be running correctly, though. I don't know if I have others that I'm not using.
Shoot me an email this evening, and we can get together and talk about it over the phone, and get something working for sure. If nothing else, I'll take you out fishing with me on Hartwell one day.
Stepdaughter, and I ended up getting it back. You know, she outgrows whatever it is I sent her, and eventually I ended up getting it back again. Oh, this is too slow. I need another one. Hey, you know, I don't have a single system that's less than 10 years old. You know, they work well enough for me. But, okay, yeah, I'll do that. I'll send you an email.
Get it. I certainly do. Jerry, what have you been up to today? You've been trying to stay cool?
Trying to, and doing well at it, I think, Jimmy. You go out this weekend?
Yep. We went out. We didn't do any real fishing this weekend. We were celebrating my twins' 16th birthday, which their birthday is today, but they had to go home yesterday. So we did a celebration for them Saturday. We went out to the lake and rode around on the tube a little bit and just cruised around on the pontoon. And they had a really good time doing that. Had to go to the disability doctor this morning, you know, or this afternoon. Just got home from that a little bit ago, and I am really feeling it. They sent me to a physical therapist, or torturist, I like to call them, and so, of course, come home at a pain score about 3 times higher than what I left.
And sometimes those folks get a hold of it, feels like you got a WWF wrestler getting a hold of you, twisting you around. Thankfully, when I had my neck injury, I avoided any physical therapy. Mine turned out okay without having to do it. I was really dreading it, but I'll gain most of my motion, range of motion pretty fast. But I didn't have to hear the hardware you got.
It's aggravating. I mean, I've probably got a stack of medical records a few inches thick, and good old American government. You know, you pay into Social Security for many, many years, and then the good old federal government decides whether or not you're entitled to it. And they use that word very loosely. But, you know, the physical therapist got to see that, no, I really have no motion, range of motion in my left leg or left foot at all, and or in my back. So I don't think there's any way they can deny it, but they'll find some way, I'm sure. KG4LSL for license identification purposes.
JC, did you retain an attorney, or are you just trying to do it on your own?
On my own until they deny me, and when they deny me is when I can get the attorney involved in it, and of course have to pay them a third of whatever I get.
Unfortunate. The funny thing, well, it's not so funny, I guess, but the Social Security office here in Anderson, right across the street, is an attorney's office for Social Security disability specialist, supposedly. But one of my really good friends, he's passed away, and that's been quite a few years ago. He was really having trouble with his back and neck, and he got where he could barely get around, and it took him a year, I think, Jimmy. But almost a year to the date, they finally got it for him. But I don't think he got an attorney. I don't think he did. He may have. I don't think so. But he just waited him out, which is excruciating for him especially. But he was He'd been making a pretty damn good living too, but we were driving all the time, and he was lifting heavy stuff, and he just got poor. We couldn't do it anymore. And he was a big guy. He was probably 6'3", and he wasn't overweight, but he was just a big guy, and he just got where his knees and his back just couldn't hold out after doing all the heavy work he'd done over the years.
Hopefully that's what happens with me, is they just go ahead and approve it. I'm at a year and a half now, and this is the first disability doctor I've seen, so hopefully I'm starting to gain a little bit of traction on it. I don't know. I'm hopefully we'll hear something within the next few days now that this doctor's appointment is over with.
Somebody I can tell you that can help you, but I've got a relationship with a couple of representatives and one senator, but they can't do a whole lot. It's usually going to be the local congressman, and I don't know him. I know him fairly well, but I know him as well as knew some of the other guys. Sometimes they can help, but 9 times out of 10, it just takes time and patience, because they move so slow, and it's just torturous what you have to go through to get in there. You see people that just don't really have much of a disability at all. They seem to get it immediately sometimes, and I'm sure it's got something to do with having an attorney, but I think they just refuse people, deny people automatically. I think that's just a rite of passage.
Definitely, I think you're right. It's all a racket. It really is. Anything with the government anymore is just so many hoops and so much red tape and it's aggravating. But I guess time is about all I got now, so we'll see what happens. I will say this, though. We need to talk to our state officials about some of their taxes that they like to get on you for your vehicles and what have you. I just called down there to the county and found out what the property taxes were going to be on my vehicles. And I about had a stroke. And you got to pay that every year. There's a whole lot better way of doing that.
Happened, we don't have any sales tax on groceries. Non-food, just non-prepared items. And the other thing is, in Anderson County, you get a pretty big tax break on your homeowner's stuff, too. And as far as your property tax for your home, that's where the big break is generally, unless you happen to be in the city limits somewhere. And what they did, they shifted that homeowner's to the cars, and I pressed some property taxes on my house, like $444 a year. And I get a senior, so I cut mine in half. For a senior, but mine was under $1,000 for years and years and years since they changed the law. But that's part of that, Jimmy. But it just depends where you live, and also what the deal is it just, you'll see, once you get a stamp, you'll see how the school taxes were just moved to vehicles.
Yeah, taxes alone on my car, my truck, and my camper are almost $1,000. And that's not including what I'm going to have to pay the DMV for the tags and transferring the titles and all that. That's before I get my tags. And I said, well, good Lord, is this a one-time thing, or do we have to pay this every year? She goes, oh, no, you'll pay your property taxes every year. And I'm saying, I was contemplating selling the house.
You just catch a big break on your house is what it amounts to. I think ours was discounted about $1,600 a year where you are, and then plus if you ever 65, you get a, you know, get another big break too. But the car tax has been high here, you know, like I said, for the last 5, 6, 7 years, I guess. I think two cars and a truck or something like that, it's going to be $1,000 if they're fairly new. Now, once they get to a certain point, if you have over a certain number of miles, they'll give you a big break on it then.
And that big break comes pretty soon, because, you know, that's a house payment. Just for property taxes on your vehicles, and, you know, if the roads were in better shape here, I could see it. But the roads here are rough, and I've been through Louisiana and Texas. These roads around here are rough.
Most of the DOT comes from gas taxes and stuff like that. That didn't necessarily come out of general budget, but they put a 2 cent tax increase. I think they did it once a year for the first 2 or 3 years. And the guy that it was lieutenant governor here last, he was, you know, he, I don't think he ran again this past time, but he was a good friend of mine. He said when they were voting on that gas tax increase, it's not going to help the current roads. Now, it's not the patch roads, it's for new infrastructure. And he was exactly right. They spent more time, I mean, potholes are everywhere. We got some, by far, I've seen, you know that section, I don't know where they paved it, you know that section from I-20 towards Birmingham? You remember how bad it used to be? That's where a lot of roads are here in the state. And I noticed they put up another in the last 6 or 8 months or so. I was headed over to Easley this morning, and that's the roundabouts, about $1.6 million to build those things.
It's funny to hear people from around here complain about high-tech. That section of road of I-20 between Atlanta and Birmingham, I used to live on that section of roadway. Yeah, it's terrible. Especially when you get over into Alabama. It's awful. Well, I'll tell you how Georgia does their taxes. You pay your ad valorem tax to the state of Georgia once you buy the vehicle. And then every year after that, unless you have a specialized tag, and including a ham radio tag, I think your tags were $20 a year. If you had a specialized tag, I think it was $40 a year. And that's all you paid for that. And I know that there's higher taxes all over the country, i.e. California. I think Pennsylvania's got some pretty bad taxes. New York is definitely some of the worst in taxes. I'm just complaining. You pay so much in taxes and tax this and tax that, and it's just, it gets old.
County, let's see. I saw the property taxes on that house in less than 10 years go from about $5,000 to $6,000 or $7,000 to $9,000. By now it might be over $10,000. No, I know, you're just complaining. You're just complaining to complain, that's fine. But, yeah, the situation is worse in other parts of the country. The north and the west in particular, the northeast and the west. And so, you know, this isn't the high tax part of the universe.
Jimmy, if you think this is how you ought to go in Hart County, see what they did to all the lake property over there. Mine, I'd had a trailer on mine, about an acre. Mine went from $500 to $3,500 a year. In just a matter of a year and a half or 2 years, I went in and did it all at one time, and we screamed bloody murder. Finally got them to reassess it, but there's been a fight over there for lakefront property for years. And it is awful. It's far worse over there than it is here for real estate property anyway, I should say. But the car thing, yeah, I lived in Georgia a long time. The car thing is not a bad deal there at all. Like you stay out of some of the suburbs that don't, cities that charge you tax on tax. But, we never owned it. We just, we might buy it, but we don't pay the tax on it, you'll find out who owns it.
And you just can't use it. Unless you're talking about real estate, then no, you're just renting it from the government. Because if you don't pay your taxes on it, they come and take it.
One case that worked out for me very well. I had a couple of parcels of land in Collier County, Florida, which, eventually, let's say 35K. One of the parcels sold for taxes for like 15K, and the other one got sold for taxes for like 12K. And I think there's still another one out there. So, not paying the taxes and just letting them get sold was probably the only way I was going to sell it. Because this was Collier County, west coast of Florida. This was like, if you go any further east, you're in the Everglades. So in some cases, with property like that, which you're not going to sell, having it go for taxes isn't the worst thing.
Where's the swamp? Yep. I know about where you're talking about. Florida's taxes are pretty bad. So I guess I need to not complain so much and just bite the bullet and do it. So that's what we're doing. We're in the process of doing vehicle changeovers now, and it's painful. But that pain will be short-lived until next year.
That's where we got our biggest break on our house and real estate. That's a big break for them, especially for them for your first home. Second home is a different story. They'll nail you for the second home, but. You could get some exemption on the first time. And it's like I said, it saves a lot of money. The thing is, Jim, is it all about, they still get it. They just get it from a different, they move it from one bucket to the other. Where you think you get a break on one side, you ain't getting a break on the other side.
That's for sure. Well, I'll tell you guys, it looks like it is going to try and cloud up and rain on us a little bit. Let's pray for that to happen. And I got to mow the grass again. Good Lord. Thought it was a drought season. Grass ain't supposed to grow in drought.
Finding some pesky. You got thrown in with my Bermuda I put out there. And I got to get the guy and cut it Wednesday, I think. It's growing, but I don't know where it's getting the water from.
Well, I'll be right back. KG4 LSL.
You're pretty scratchy now, right there, but have a good one. Talk to you later. N4DJC, mind you.
DJC, N4TOM.
Afternoon, how you doing?
Hey, bud, I'm very well. I'm down here in Belton. The name here is Tony. Thank you a lot for the rubber Yankee. But the rain down here looks like a bottom's going to fall out. I had just put this Kenwood in my car, and I just wanted to see if it was, I was making a repeater.
Good, it's got great audio. All Kenwoods have good audio, but it's got great audio. You make it repeat. It got a little bit of white noise in the background, but not much.
Thank you. I had been on I check it on the net occasionally, but I, a while back, so I got me hooked on DMR, and I kind of got hung on that, and I pretty much stay up there now, right?
Oh, yeah, what kind of Kenwood mobile you running?
Oh, this is an older model, 271.
Oh, yeah, I remember those. I ran, I think it was a, I want to say it was a She must have been a 79-50 or something like that, about where I get back in the back in the late 70s in my truck, and I love that thing. It's a monster compared to what they are now, but I love that old Kenwood and all of them. They're just not, you can't find the Kenwood mobiles anymore. They just about stopped all their mobile and handheld production, I guess.
I got a
79 BMW, but I've sent it down to HRO and got it repaired one time. That won't transmit nor receive. But, it's big as my 440. Like you say, it's a monster.
And my Nissan
four-wheel
drive truck, and
yeah, I had to, those trucks were lit. Of course, the Nissans and Toyotas both a lot smaller trucks than they are now, back in those days. And I had to sit down with man sideways on the console between me and the console. But that was a good radio. They had to. I remember it pretty well. It was bigger than my 140 I had. I know the 148 HF rig I had, and it was about the same size. It had a, if I remember correctly, it seemed like it had a keypad on the front panel. Is that right, or am I thinking about another radio?
No, you're correct. Sure was. Big thing that you could hear the fan come on. That was a radio. I don't know why they built it as a mobile radio when actually it should have been built as a base radio.
Got rid of that truck and didn't have room for it in my other vehicle. I kept that thing as a base for a long time, and it was solid as a rock. I've had them all, Kenwood, JZ's, Icons, just about everything, and the earlier Kenwoods were really good radios, and they always had good audio, the handhelds and the others, and JZ started building some good radios too. They kind of swapped back and forth, I think. But they all pretty good nowadays too. I tell you one thing, they've all got so damn hard and so expensive now though, it's just crazy that rate of $50, $60, $70 higher now than it was 6 months ago.
Yeah, well I just not bought a I think it's 79, 91, I believe it's, I'm not exactly sure on that, but it's a dual band. I bought it because it cross band repeat, and that radio's been out for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, and I still pay $600 for that
one. I'm not familiar with that one. Is that that's just 2 meter 440 or?
Yeah, certainly. It's no bigger than this radio right here. It's I'm possibly wrong on those numbers, but it's small. It's real small, but it's about the same size as this, but that's all gun show was high. I'm telling you, I was kind of, I just wondered with, dual band, I don't know why, I don't hear a lot going on the 440 side of anything, or even on the 440 rig, but on that particular one, like I say, I just bought it because of the cross band.
Hey, GWZ, Noble.
Hey, Chandler, how you doing? Yeah, that cross band is kind of handy, and, heck, hell, what you got? That 271, it ought to be, it's all this. Is it, let me think. Is that a dual band, or am I thinking about a single minor bander?
A band, yes. I've had this radio for, it's been packed up. I got it, and Yezu Bose has been packed up for 7 or 8 years, maybe. I don't know. It's been around for a long time. Well, let me get out of here and let you get that other party. I'll just check this radio out. I appreciate the radio check and the best 73 and where you at. But like I said, we've been getting rain down here in Belton. So y'all have a good evening. 73 to y'all. N4TOM. Signed at you.
Okay, talk to you later. N4TOS, N4DJC. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, T71. That's got a front firing speaker, I think. That's one of the best ones they built, I think. Go ahead, Chandler.
Well, I'm just sitting here listening to y'all, and I'm just wondering, what kind of radios are you talking about?
Yes, these were radios that were popular back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Let me jump out here real quick. I'll be back in a little bit.
Okay. And poor DJC, clear monitor.